Father, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
And we pray that you will help us to understand.
Amen.
Renew our mind. Renew our understanding.
Amen.
We pray that your word will be living, operative, and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Amen.
To pierce through our heart.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, the book of Hebrews is a wonderful book because it looks like a summary of the whole Bible. Right? You want to understand the whole of these chapters, you have to read the Bible. It really is a summary. Right? So we come to chapter 12 again. To run that race, and how to run it. It's not just to run it, but you have to know how to run it. And this book, this chapter is very practical to show us the way to reach the goal. If it just showed us the goal, but it didn't tell you how to do it and how to get there, that's not good. Yeah. So don't become weary and discouraged, because it is not an easy goal to reach. Nothing is easy. Really, nothing is easy. Right? Even you reach finish architecture, was it easy? How come you made it?
With endurance.
That must be the way, right? That must be the way, because without endurance, you quit. You quit. I've seen so many people quit halfway. If you quit, you get nothing. Really, you get nothing. If you quit the last year of your studies, so is the university or college there in Pomona just going to give you one-third of a diploma?
Zero.
You get zero. Really? Although you went through it for 4 years, the fifth year you just quit. But you got 4 years, you learned something.
Not enough.
Sorry. Right, so if we quit, especially before very close to the goal, and you quit, you get nothing. This is why the book of Hebrews gives us so many warnings. Don't quit, don't draw back, don't drift away. Run the race with endurance. If you quit, you get nothing. Sorry. Right. Don't quit. Consider him. The Lord did not quit. Can you imagine the Lord quit? Especially when it's time to go to the cross, he says, no, I can't make it. Right. Don't think it was easy for him, because even in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Father, if it were possible, let this cup, what? Pass over me. He's a human being. He became a man just like you and me. But then he says, nevertheless, it's not my will, but your will be done. How wonderful. He finished the course. So, if you see that, hopefully we will not become weary and discouraged. After so many years, praise the Lord, we are still here. Isn't that wonderful, huh? We didn't quit. We didn't quit. And we hope that we will not quit, but we'll continue until the Lord comes. This is very important. And then he says, hey, you have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. And now let me ask you this question now. Don't think that verse here is easy to understand. Are you fighting against sin, striving against sin? So many temptation, or you give in right away? Have you learned to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to give in to you. Learn to say no. Striving against sin and temptation. This is a practice. What does it mean, striving? You mean it's a battle. It's a fight. In anything that you do, it's a fight. In soccer, it's a fight. If you just don't fight, if you see somebody coming, you just say, okay, just go. You're not going to win like that. No, you try to get the ball away from him, and you try to keep the ball and let nobody take that away from you, right? Hey, what about fighting against sin? Are you striving? And he says, even to bloodshed. And those brothers, those apostles, they strove against sin until they became martyrs. I appreciate always the word martyrs means the same word as a witness. It's the same word. Right? When you're telling people about the Lord Jesus that you have experienced, you are a witness. When they kill you because of your witness, you're a martyr. So it's the same word. The same word. The witness is not just speaking and telling people, but you give your life for it because you know it's real. And you don't want people to get lost and to perish. Yeah, you have not yet resisted a bloodshed, meaning to say until martyrdom. Striving against sin, and sin is actually the personification of Satan. Striving against the devil himself. Say no. That's why Paul tells us, and Peter also, resist the devil and he will learn to resist. No. Get you behind me, and not just behind me, but far away from me. Behind me is still too near. Right? Disappear. Get away from here. You have not yet reached that point and you have forgotten the exhortation which God speaks to you as to sons. You know, which parents will just let their children roll into a trap? Naomi, you're going to do that? You're going to let your children just fall into a trap? I would tell him, over my dead body, okay? Over my dead body. You're not going to do that. No. Right. Right. So you can see we are striving against Satan, against the power of darkness today. Don't just take it, oh yeah, it's okay, that's normal. No, it's not normal. Don't think it's normal. Nothing is normal. If you have eyes to see, right? People didn't have eyes to see, but the Lord saw it. When the Lord came to this earth, people thought Judaism was a wonderful religion. Everybody respected it. But then when Jesus came, he says, you generation of vipers, Abraham is not your father, in John chapter 8. The devil is your father. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that. I think if we were there, if I were there, I said, come on, Lord, what are you talking about? Right? Nobody knew that. Even John the Baptist, when he came and he saw the Pharisees coming to be baptized, he says, who told you to be baptized, you generation of vipers? Bear some fruit first of righteousness. Right? Hey, he is not a nice guy. You think John the Baptist was a nice guy? He was, but he was a serious nice guy. a courageous one. He was a courageous one. Right. Are you a nice guy? Depends on what situation, right? Depends what situation. Right. So, right, you have forgotten the exhortation. What exhortation? You think all of these are problems. But God is using these problems to discipline you. Why did it happen to me? Right? Well, why? Because God is using it to discipline you, to teach you something. Otherwise, how are you going to learn? You don't learn just by doctrine. You learn through experience. Even if you finish architecture, you think you can build a house now without experience? Please, build me a house, okay? You're my good friend. Build me a house. Well, but I thought you graduated.
There's still more to learn.
Especially practically. You cannot just learn the Bible and think you know everything now. No. But you have to go through it. If you graduate medicine, you won't get any patients coming to you. They'll be afraid of you because you have no experience. Everyone who is seriously ill, they're looking for the best physician who had done so many years of treating patients like him. Yeah, otherwise, they cut your body open and they wouldn't know how to sew it together again. Oh, you're in big trouble. You are in big trouble, right? So practice is important. Spiritually, it is not just knowing the Bible and reading so many books. No. It is going through this exhortation, through the difficulties and problems and practical challenges in your daily living. Right. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. This word chastening. On top it says endure this and you go through the shame and all that. Now, this is the way God will chastise us and discipline us in your family life. Just somebody said a sentence and there is a little volcanic explosion. And we are Christians. Explosive Christians. Are you an explosive Christian? That means a little thing will trigger an explosion. Right. We need the discipline of the Lord. And how are you going to learn that without this environment, without these difficulties and problems that's happening? How are you going to train to endure, to have patience, to be able to brush it off, and to keep your mouth closed? Don't use the word shut, that's nice. Close your mouth. Don't say, shut your lips. That's not good. You close your lips. How about that? Instead of opening it very wide and people can see your throat. Yeah, that's right. Just like when Mercedes barks, you can see the throat. It's so big, like he's going to swallow you. Scary. No, we learn to take Christ, the wonderful humanity of Christ. Right? It's not just the knowledge that you have. Oh, I have Christ as the wonderful, perfect humanity. Yes, he is perfect, but you are not, and I am not. So I have to use this opportunity. Now is the time for me to take Christ. Right? The chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. Have you ever been rebuked by God? Or when you read the word of God and the word of God rebuke you? Where is it written that the word of God will rebuke you, will train you, chastise you? Your name, you're the right name. Where? Second Timothy, yeah, you see. We got a Timothy here. That's very good. All right. Chapter 3, verse 16. All right. The word of God is the breath of God, profitable for chastising, rebuking, training you in righteousness, so that the man of God can be perfect. The word of God will expose you, but hey, in order to heal you. Right? Suppose if I'm sick and I didn't know it. Well, that's not good for me, right? So praise the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked. Yeah, learn, especially children here, right? Yeah, you should say when you're rebuked, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Papa. Oh, thank you, Coco. Right, you should learn to say thank you because it's good for you. You should say thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful chance for me to gain you and to be perfected to reach the goal. My son, it says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Don't be discouraged. Right? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And we have to learn this. Even those who are chastening do it with love. Just like God. Don't do it with anger. You do it with love. It's more effective. No, don't you think so? Instead of, why did you do this? You never learn, you. If you do it like that, I don't think you would take my rebuke, right? You would tell me, who are you? You are going to react back. But to chasten with love, just like what our Father did, our Heavenly Father. It's good, but those who are chastened, you have to realize it is done with love because he cares for you. Right? Who else is going to care for you like that? Your friends at school? No. Right. So do not despise nor be discouraged. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. The Lord means God our Father here, right? It is all in caps, Yahweh, yeah? And scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with your sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Right. You spare the rod, what do you do? Well, everybody knows that verse, but nobody likes it. Especially those who are being chastened. Everybody likes to be spoiled. Yeah, but that's not real love spoiling you. But real love will tell you the truth. Yeah. Speaking the truth in love. You remember that verse? Yeah. Good. Speaking the truth in love. It's a good phrase. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with your son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, all of God's children will be a partaker of chastening. Praise God, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Right. Yeah. If you are not a partaker of this chastening, then you are illegitimate. And you are not sons, you are illegitimate. Right. Well, I don't chasten other people's children, do you? No. But if it's my children, I will chasten them. For indeed, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Now, this is a good word, respect. You remember Malachi? What did God say? If I am your father, where is my honor and respect, my reverence, respect? Where is my honor and where is my respect? Learn to respect your parents. Love them. Yeah. It's good to respect. Yeah. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live? Then we will have life. We'll grow in life. We'll mature in life. Don't you want to mature in your spiritual life? But you think you're mature without chastening? You don't need chastening, Sophia?
I do.
You know, me too.
Praise the Lord.
Me too. Me too. Really, we all do. We all need chastening. Yeah. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seem best to them. But God, when he chasten us, it is for our profit. It is for your profit. That we may be partakers of his holiness. Because God is holy. This is the very nature of God. We as his children should be like him, especially the priesthood. Be holy, Peter wrote in chapter 1, 1 Peter, because I am holy. Our Father is holy. It cannot be that I'm Asian and all of a sudden my children are, I don't know, what nationality? Polynesian. No, we have the same nature. Right? It cannot be that my children, I'm a man and my children are monkeys. You think it's possible? It's not possible. The children should always have the same nature as the father. We are born again, born of God. Yeah. So as we grow in spiritual life and being chastened by the Lord and being disciplined by him, we'll be changed into his likeness. You'll be holy as he is holy, righteous as he is righteous. And according to Matthew chapter 6, you'll be perfect as he is perfect. Right. That's why Hebrews chapter 6 says we have to leave the elementary word of Christ and go on to maturity. It's not just believing in God, that is the foundation, but no, you have to have this kind of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, that is the mature faith. Believing in the existence of God and Jesus Christ, okay, that's the foundation. That is the elementary principles of the Word of God. But now you're coming to chapter 11 concerning such a glorious, wonderful faith to perfect you. And you even have the examples so that you won't miss it. And you even have the best example, which is the Lord Jesus Christ who reached the goal. You think the Lord didn't go through any suffering? Yep. Oh, yeah, more than any of us. Right. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. At the moment you're being chastened, maybe you shed some tears. Okay. It's normal, right? Because it's written here and it's your experience. So that's what, right? But painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. These are really perfect words. If you pay attention to it, you can learn a lot. Yeah, that's a training for you. It trains your character. It trains you to turn to the Lord to gain the humanity of the Lord Jesus. If you don't have all those problems, I think many of you can testify, right? How are you going to experience the humanity of the Lord? Right? Only in situations that your humanity fails. Oh, then you say, Lord, I take your humanity. I'm going to eat some more of this unleavened cake, bread that came down from above, right? And then purge away all the leaven that is within me. Like, hey, this is the real way to do it. So otherwise, we say, no, I don't like to eat that. I don't like to eat this. I don't like to eat that. I heard that many times. Right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to yield and bring forth the peaceful fruit that goes with righteousness. Peace and righteousness are twins, so to speak. You cannot have one without the other. No peace, no righteousness, no righteousness, no peace. And we need to be trained. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Have you ever seen hands that hang down after you work so hard and your knees bend like that? Right. Nope, we shouldn't be like that. Strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Make straight path for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the healing. It's really wonderful. Then positively, you need to pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace. You know, if you have peace, that means you have self-control. You control yourself. No outburst. But you learn to take Christ, the peace of Christ, rule in your heart. Right. Believe in that. Don't you believe in the peace? Don't we have a peace offering? Praise the Lord. Christ is our peace. Yep. Pursue peace and holiness. You have to desire to be holy. Yep. Without which no one will see the Lord. You like to see him? How? With the physical eyes? No, you see him with your inner eyes. You know, it's very strange. All of us have inner ears. This is the outer ears. But there's the ear of the heart that you hear. And there's the inner eyes. Paul says, hey, may the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open up the eyes of your heart. Eh? You got two pairs of eyes. I don't mean two eyes. I mean two pairs. One pair, I don't mean glasses, okay? You have two pairs here, and then you have another two pairs in your heart. Two eyes and one pair. Okay, one pair, I'm sorry. One pair up here and another pair in there. So, right. How would you like to be blind in this pair of eyes. You should be happy you don't need glasses, right? But what about your inner eyes? And this is the reason why the Lord says, these people have eyes and see not. Because they only see outwardly, but they don't see the real thing. And they have ears and they hear not. Don't be like that. I'm glad we have two ears to hear outward sound. But there's an inner ears to hear the speaking of the Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear, right? So praise the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone, again here is a warning, fall short of the grace of God. The grace of God is so rich, but you fall short because you don't use it. You don't know how to gain it and apply the grace of God. And if you fall short of the grace of God, there is a warning here. The root of bitterness will grow in you. You say, where is God? God didn't help me. He didn't listen to me. He didn't listen to you. Why don't you ask whether you listened to him? You expect him to listen to you, but you don't listen to him. Then there will be bitterness. You may not realize it at first because the roots start very small. So you thought you're still okay. But all root grows, and it's hard to see because it's under the ground. If bitter root grows in your heart, your face will disappear slowly. And then the root will grow more. And at the end, you will not care about God anymore. Don't let that happen to your heart. That is not good. Right? And then you cause trouble. Trouble everywhere in the family, trouble in the church, trouble at work. Everywhere. And by this, many will become defiled. That means that kind of a behavior will influence others. Right? No, we don't want to be like that. It's a warning here. And even worse, lest there be any fornicators. Fornication, the flesh will come out. And then you are free to do anything you like, whatever your flesh tells you to do. And you will have no strength to overcome it. You will fall into it. And even worse, you'll be a profane person like Esau. What happened to Esau? He sold his birthright. The birthright is very important. You don't care about a birthright? Are you the firstborn or are you not, Jasmine, in your family? Of course, in your family, you're the second one. But spiritually, as sons of God, which are you now? Are you the one of the thousandth? Or are you also the firstborn? How come? Huh? Because you were baptized into him, you become one with him, and he is in you. So you partook not only of his life, you partook of his birthright. You are Jasmine, right? Is only your head Jasmine or your hand is also part of Jasmine? Your whole body is one with you. We were baptized into Christ. This is why Zion is called the church of the firstborn, plural, because all of us are firstborn. Are you the firstborn or the secondborn or the thirdborn in your family? But spiritually, in the church, all of us are partakers of his birthright. That's why you can be a king and you can own the whole universe as your inheritance. You even get a double portion if you make it to the second coming of Christ. For 1,000 years, you'll be reigning. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to lose your inheritance. It's that portion, only that portion of the 1,000 years. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose your birthright. You can sell your birthright, and, you know, whatever price you pay for the birthright, it is always too cheap. Esau despised his birthright. He sold it to Jacob. Don't do that. For you know afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. No good. That's a warning. It's a very, very serious warning. Right? This is why faith, bringing us all the way to the goal, is so important. Reaching maturity, running this race. Don't be weary. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your hand hang down like a gorilla like this. Now, you should straighten up your life. Hold it together through Christ. And run the race with endurance. Right. And we will all make it by faith, by this wonderful faith. Okay, we'll stop here in this meeting and go on to this second part, which is very wonderful. Right. But this is an encouragement. And if you go to look at the outline, right, Roman numeral 2H, these men obtained a good testimony but did not receive the fulfillment of the ultimate promise. What are these promised? Concerning the first and the second coming of the Messiah, the Savior King. Peter says the prophets are searching for it diligently, looking for a time when the Messiah will first come, right? So they saw it from afar off. They read it in Zechariah. Behold, your king cometh. Right? But they didn't see it. So they missed it, but they knew. They saw it from afar. And of course, even greater is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's good, because in the second coming, they will be a partaker if they are these witnesses. They will be there with us together, if we make it too, right? Yeah. And then the better covenant. They were in the old covenant, which is not bad. But the new covenant is better. Right? The law is written now in your heart. Otherwise, you have to carry 2 big stones with you wherever you go. Of course, I'm saying that jokingly, right? But now it's written in your heart. In the new covenant, I will write my laws in your heart. And the ink is the Holy Spirit. Right? And in your mind, so that you will not forget. Praise the Lord. And it become part of your nature. Yeah. And then the heavenly Jerusalem. When are you going to get there? Huh? We have come. We are having a foretaste right now. A real taste of the heavenly Jerusalem. Although, hey, we are here in the process of building that heavenly city. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Abraham was looking for it, waiting, seeing afar. But that's for this evening. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? And many more wonderful things that, you know, we are really in a better position and condition today. Amen. We need to be thankful. Praise the Lord. Okay, we stop here. Let's have some prayers.